Okay, hi everybody. This is our project, this is just a tiny, tiny part of our project. Developing an occupational health and safety intervention to prevent falls and silica exposure to Latino construction workers through community-based participation. And we couldn't possibly fit all the names of all the people who actually had a part in this, but this is us. And I didn't make any money except my paycheck out of this. A very small paycheck. Adapting interventions to Lawrence community. That was an excellent question somebody just raised. When you start with community-based participatory research, do we really start from nothing and just walk out there and say, okay, what do you want to do? You can't do that. We already know something about preventing falls, and we know something about preventing silica exposure. This is a lot, some of us. This is some of us in this picture. That was a day we were happy. You're not always happy. So it always sounds so easy once it's up on the slide, but there are many hours of struggle that go in between everything here. So how we picked, I could say one couple things about how we picked falls and silica, and that actually goes to the fact of it being research, and that we would institute a program on falls and a program on silica on construction sites with contractors, and then they would flip over. So it was like a control, case control kind of thing, you know, where usually you would have the control have no intervention, and we really felt that was unethical. So we would do a different intervention, and we felt that these two interventions would have nothing to do with each other in many ways. But so you can ask me later about that. But we based the fall prevention piece of this on, well, first of all, there's a whole literature of how Latino workers are falling and dying in construction in disproportionate numbers. So falls seem to be the place to go in construction. This is based on the FallSafe intervention, if people are probably not familiar with it in this room, out of West Virginia University, where they created a partnership between WVU and regional contractors. This is an organizational intervention with contractors that provides them knowledge on fall prevention programs, accountability systems. In other words, they would be trained to do their own internal auditing of how well the program was working, and some incentives, marketing and branding, that they would be branded in the area as a fall-safe contractor and get some publicity out of that. So we were trying to do that kind of intervention. Let me go back one second here and tell you who all is in this partnership. We have the University of Massachusetts Lowell. We have, four of those people. And then we have the City of Lawrence, and which is a, I would say, 90,000 people in the northeast corner of Massachusetts. And then we have our promotores, which were community health workers who had come out of an environmental project. And let's see, who else? Oh, Laborers Local 175, representing laborers in that area and having about, I'd say, 40% of their membership were Latino. Okay. So we came in with this, and what we were trying to do is measure changes in, what FallSafe was doing was measuring changes in behavior and not outcomes, not whether injuries were less or not, but whether hazards had been removed on the work site, which is always an important thing to get past. The silica exposure technologies, we know how to prevent silica exposure. It's not used very much, but we know what we can do. Correct use of respirators, moving to engineering controls, water ventilation, there are work practices. There were policies and standards out there, such as wet cutting in New Jersey, job specifications by owners, including cities. So we saw this as a place where, well, we're working with the City of Lawrence. They are an owner. They contract work. They can push people who are in various, their contractors who participate in various of their building programs. It's not as easy as it sounds, but they could have influence there. We were looking at the community in terms of changing people's expectations of what it meant to go to work in construction. That you didn't have to work like you're in a medieval industry just because you worked in construction. And that it was possible to be safe and work construction, even small residential construction. And so that's why involving the community was very important. And figuring out how this worked for them was important. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but mostly I'm going to talk about how we took the intervention that we had on the table, starting from somewhere, the fall safe, and changed it to be adapted, and what we learned. So why Lawrence? Lawrence is 70% Latino. And so interestingly enough, a lot of people go there because of that to do research. So they actually have a board on research in the city to ward off evil researchers. So it's good. That was good. I mean, it's good that people take care of that resource that they have and not get abused in the process. They also have a large number of community organizations, a lot of them faith-based, and people know each other. Most of the Latinos are from the Dominican Republic, but they don't hold that against the people who come from Puerto Rico and so forth. And we anticipated that there would be many construction projects. Of course, that was before we had this enormous economic collapse, and we struggled to find construction projects. Now, in fact, I think it was in 2009 that Lawrence elected its first Latino mayor, which was good news and bad news because they laid off our contact in the city. So, but we worked through that. So RCPBR processed. We took input from dedicated teams, and this looks so simple, it's ridiculous. There is a lot of mix between all of these groups. All of these are independent and not independent. You see, we have a management intervention and a worker intervention team. It would be nice if those people could sit in the same room together, but that's not going to happen. And interestingly enough, as time went on, that actually broke down between Anglos and Latinos. That even the Latino supervisors came to meet with the Latino workers, as opposed to Anglo management. The other thing was that contractors, it was very difficult to get them in the room with the other people in terms of focus groups, so we ended up doing interviews with them and a lot of that over the phone. And I think that's been people's typical experience in construction. So these are ongoing teams. These are ongoing teams throughout the process. The input from the construction industry stakeholders, we had focus groups. We had 19 groups, approximately 75 participants altogether. These were held mostly in Spanish. Workers, there were union and non-union groups, there were supervisors, Latino and non-Latino, and those were also union and non-union. Family members of construction workers, we brought the community in because it's not just a stereotype that Latinos are into their families, they're really into their families. and so you could not do anything without talking about the whole community. And interviews, I just mentioned, we did the interviews with the contractors. So what we found out of this was that some of the issues that particularly the Latino workers raised were as disrespect by supervisors as a major hazard. And I do a lot of work in the construction industry, and disrespect is rampant. It's a lot of what the way people think that you work. If you yell and nothing happens, you yell louder. There's not a lot of human relations, shall we say, that goes on in construction. But this was different, and it was borne out by a lot of our experience out there as well. That discrimination and racism was a major hazard, that people were really treated as objects as opposed to people. The injuries on the job were a burden for families and the entire community. There's more to that. Language per se, this is an interesting finding, that language per se was less of a hazard than commonly supposed. And it was really more of the disrespect as the language. You could always find somebody to translate for you if you needed it. All right, people from other backgrounds were new to construction, come from another country, you've been something else, and now you're working construction because of where you are in the ladder here. Especially dangerous conditions, lack of equipment and information, people working through temp agencies, people don't even know who they're working for. Lack of recognition from Silica. We found that we did a lot of those risk mappings, risk maps for work sites, and we could see what people were drawing, and they would call and say, oh yeah, yeah, we know what that is. But then we could tell it was asbestos by the way they were talking about it. People are obsessed with training. Everybody said, let's do the OSHA 10, let's do the OSHA 10, let's get respirators. And it's been really difficult to get everybody off of that dime and say that there is, that OSHA 10, I think it's a great idea, is somewhat of a form of blaming the workers. And that there could be a, you can actually change the way construction is done. So, and this is true in a lot of places, but it was probably more true here. Pressure to work quickly, fear of retaliation, and we addressed some of these things in the intervention. Lack of adequate equipment, lack of training, lack of compensation in case of injury. This is a very interesting point. A lot of PEDs, small contractors, do not carry workers' compensation in insurance, even though it's a law. So here's a question for you researchers. Do you exclude people who do not carry workers' comp from the intervention because you want to stay nice and clean and not work with them? Interesting. Much gray economic activity for people who don't know about wage theft. Come see anybody who knows about wage theft. Need to focus. But in spite of all of that, there was a clear message that we need to focus this and call this a work site improvement project and not a threat. We did not want to see, nobody wanted us to seem like we were threatening contractors. Okay, so the name of the program was selected by the management intervention team, Leaders in Safe Construction. And we've developed, one of our students developed a supervisor training program, how to get what you want from people without yelling at them. And we haven't had a lot of enrollment, but it's part of our 15-step program. So this is an add-on to what West Virginia did. And we're calling it cultural competency, even though it would be nice to not yell at anybody, whether they're Latino or not. But so we're working on that. We want these guys, as part of this intervention, to start a hazard reporting and non-retaliation policy, which we want posted in their workplaces. And all this is, we'll see how it goes. We're putting this on the table to contractors, and they say, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So we'll see how this goes. We want the contractors to build and maintain a database of hazards reported to supervisors and corrected. Every contractor says, oh yeah, my workers can tell me about problems. And we say, yeah, right. So we want them to document the problems that they have been raised to them and what they did with them. We did have to change the language called intervention, since everybody watches that show on TV, I guess, and they don't want us to think that we're coming into their houses to carrying them away. Also, people raised from Central America that it could be a military intervention. So we had to call it Worksite Improvement Program. We had to change audit to assessment. We have built a network of support and community through Charlas. Focused on resources available to small businesses and to workers. MassCosh has been a part of this project, coming in and doing charlas on workers' rights. We've had a lot of cooperation from the OSHA and state agencies to help people talk about their rights and not be so afraid. So we've had a lot of projects. It's the research part that's a little tricky. City leader support for participating contractors. We've got the mayor on board. We also found out that when we ask contractors, do they have silica hazards, they say, oh no. So we've developed a secondary list of questions to ask them, like, do you demolish buildings? They say, yes. Oh, okay. Because they have no idea where silica is found, particularly the residential contractors. And we're working on channels for recruitment. And if anybody, I've been doing research in construction for a long time, and everything's based on relationships, whether you're in a working with very large companies or very small companies. Somebody has to know who you are. And that's the way we've been working here. And that's it.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Questions? Anybody?
So, good work. Your presentation made me think about this idea of community-based participatory research as it applies to the contractors themselves.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent do you feel like they are a community that you can engage in the concept of?
That's a very excellent question. In fact, we, as anybody who does this knows, you struggle over what the community means. Who does that include? And we've argued amongst ourselves, like, well, the contractors come in and say, well, we don't want to do fall prevention, you know? So is that valid input into this? And so it's been struggling. We struggle against them. They have their input. They have their say. And we have to win them over to say, like, oh, well, you know, that... You know, that's against the law. You know, so it's a great question. And the other piece about contractors is they don't really see themselves as a community. I mean, there's no, you know, there are these organizations like the National Association of Home Builders who claim to represent small contractors, but they're competitors.
Right, but it seems like if you could, I'm thinking about how are you going to take this project and get it to the broader community of contractors. There's a way to build a consensus and an idea that we're onto something important among the contractors here, that would be very powerful, taking it to the larger community.
Right. Right. Yes, I agree. It's a challenge. Dorothy?
I used to work in the same place as Susan and do construction research, so it was qualitative and around ergonomics. And I'm back to that these days indirectly. And the question that the folks I'm working with at the University of Waterloo are trying to deal with is how to get what they're calling interventions out and taken up by contractors. And they're doing residential construction.
Yep.
So it's the smaller contractors.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the stuff that you're doing, where are you at on that? I know you haven't finished this, so what are you learning about how to do that?
I think all of us are learning something different compared to where we are. Right now we are what I call chasing contractors. There's a thing called recruitment, which is nice. You call them up and you chat, blah, 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 blah. But then you have to actually chase them. And I literally chase them. I've learned a few things. You set up an appointment. You never call to confirm. You just show up. Because if you call to confirm, they'll say, don't come. Sometimes you have to buy those drug telephones, so they can't tell it's your cell phone calling them, because they won't answer. You chase contractors. You go to their sites and you chase them. So that's where we are right now. We're on some sites, particularly the small residential ones, and we struggle. You know, you have a research protocol that says they have to be doing something that has a fall or silica in it. Okay. So they're you know, putting tile down in somebody's bathroom today. That's just, you know. What do we do with that? How do we run through our protocol with something like that? So we're learning a lot about how to run research in residential construction, I'll tell you that. So that's where I would say we are right now, is chasing them. And also trying to convince them we're just not going to do free OSHA 10s for them, particularly in Spanish. We can do that, but we're trying not to. So, we're going to learn a lot. Whether we're too burnt out to write it up when we're done, we'll find out. But,
Thank
that's
you.
Where we're at.